You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, this is Sarah Stiles. I am so excited to welcome you to episode one of Bleeding Love. Bleeding Love is set in a world where people are cloistered inside because it's too dangerous to go out. That sounds familiar. Most of the songs were recorded before the current pandemic, but all of the actors, and we have an amazing cast, recorded their dialogue in their homes, cloistered inside because it's too dangerous to go out. Broadway may have shut down for now, but you can't stop musical theater. Our story takes place on Kingfisher Avenue, a residential street in a nearly deserted post-apocalyptic metropolis. It's always night, and it often snows. A spindly teenage girl, that's me, looks out from the third floor window of a decrepit Victorian-era brownstone. She's practicing the cello.
Cracked. Uneven pavement.
Dangerous, some might say. You could break your neck going from there to here. I say there to here, 'cause no one's gone from here to there in a long time. No one leaves this building nowadays. It's called the Halcyon, a word my wife told me when she was living. A word that meant peaceful, happy.
Halcyon don't mean that no more. Not to us, anyhow.
Each day we wake, there's no daybreak, midnight and noon. It's the same moon, spires falling, nature's starving, no trees, no grass, this too shall not pass.
Dropping 30 below.
Lived in the Halcyon longer than Madame Floy.
Don't underplay the downbeat.
She taught music from the top floor of this luxury tenement until her final student moved away 12 long years ago.
Watch your vibrato!
That was about the time her great niece arrived, special delivery. Bronwyn, being newly orphaned, was sent to live with Madame Floy, who it turned out was her last lingering relative. At the tender age of almost 4, Bronwyn climbed that stoop and walked through those exterior doors never to leave. At least, not yet.
Stop staring out that window, you're distracted.
I'm not.
Move your chair next to my bed.
Don't make me sit over there, Auntie. I might miss something.
Burned out buildings, broken glass. Nothing out there's worth looking at.
How can you say that?
When I was a child prodigy, we had sunlight. We had blue skies and fields of green. Did we sit in front of windows?
Did you?
No! We practiced in dusty rooms and cement basements. We sacrificed our lives pour la musique.
You've locked me in here for 12 years. At least let me look outside.
What for? Outlaws fooling in the wild drug fiends. That's what's stalking those avenues. Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. They'll rape you, then they'll kill you, then they'll take your shoes.
But, Auntie, you haven't been out in how long? I've been watching for years, and I've never seen anyone.
Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. Each one looking to start a fight. Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. They'll slash you, then they'll bash you, and they're not polite.
polite. If you went outside, then who'd protect you? There are things I won't subject you to.
That's what I do.
Don't you know outside is only danger? Say you met a wicked stranger, and this fellow broke your cello. Hello, outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. High as a kite while drunk on booze. Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. Seriously, Bronwyn, they will take your shoes.
Red ears, white toes, blue hands, what nose,
chap lips,
dry mouth,
charmer,
froze oath.
While we
suffer, life gets tougher.
Still sleeting.
Years ago, when the climate started turning bitter, most folks headed south, way, way south.
One moment, Father.
Like other holdouts, I spent those final shrinking days stockpiling foodstuffs.
Three locks to go.
With severe rationing, we've survived.
Two.
But supplies are dwindling.
What?
Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. Looks like they're back from oblivion. Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. They'll take what they can take, but they won't take my gun.
I swept up all the stairs while you were out. I'm a real good sweeper, aren't I, Father?
Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. Those damn morons are real damn close. Outlaws, hooligans, and wild drug fiends. They're criminals and bastards.
And they're really gross. How many did you see this time?
Just two. But they were mean and ugly looking.
Look!
That's lots and lots of stuff.
I found an unmolested pantry in a tenement a few miles out. Put it in the stockpile.
One can of sauerkraut, one can of canned kale, one can of ravioli, canned fruit cocktail, green jalapeno, canned whole chicken, healthy weight cat food, spotted dick in a can. What's flan? Canned fish mouth, canned fresh snail, canned rattlesnake, canned fruit cocktail, 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 canned cheeseburger,
Where's your broom?
Must have left it somewhere.
On the top floor? Were you hovering outside that apartment?
No, promise.
You leave be that old lady. And her scrubby little niece.
I can't bother them. They don't ever come out.
Leave some of that canned fruit cocktail outside their door. And fetch your broom! Across the street is another building. Still badly damaged from a fire a few years back. Uninhabitable. But that don't stop squatters.
Shut up! But Lolly Baby, I didn't say nothing.
I'm sick of listening to your teeth chattering and clattering.
It's so shivery.
Need me to get you hot? Slobber, slobber. Oh, yeah, puppy. Yeah. I need a lolly.
Alcyon. That building might have something in it.
Pantries, patties, and some more grannies. That's what's usually up in there. Pantries, patties, and some more grannies.
Come on, why don't we look inside?
Don't touch the hair. Pantries, patties, and some more grannies. Not like we got a lot of options here. Pantries, patties, and some more grannies.
For this reason, can't we look inside?
Pray for beer.
Bronwyn, listen to me. You'll never see anyone outside that window.
Auntie, outside! I see...
What?
People!
What's taking so long?
It must be bolted shut.
Break it!
Ow! I can't. I'm so cold.
You can't bust a window? What kind of puppy are you?
Okay. Ow!
Someone who really loved me could smash that thing!
Ow! Lolly baby.
That's it? You're giving up?
I can't do it.
You don't love me! You don't love me! Tyrant!
I do love you!
Oppressor!
I love you!
Yeah? Prove it!
How?
Do I gotta think of everything?
Looking at her lollipop, Lolly got an idea.
I want a rose.
Rose?
Nothing says I love you better than a single red rose.
Aren't those just like in fairy tales?
Bring me a rose.
That's impossible. There's no plants, baby. Nothing grows no more.
Bring me a rose, a red rose.
Don't be unreasonable.
Bring me a rose, a single red rose. Do it! Otherwise, take this. Cause it's the only lolly you'll ever get. You know what you can do with that, don't you?
Suck it.
I'm out!
Lolly, baby!
Suck it!
Lolly! Lolly! I need booze.
Bronwyn found her thoughts kept returning to this strange vision of love outside her window.
Auntie, were you ever in love?
Many times.
What's it like?
Love announces itself like a cuckoo clock striking the hours with small bellows and pipes that imitate the call of a common bird. Also, it's pendulum-driven.
But this love outside Bronwyn's window was so different than the stories she would hear from her great aunt and much more real.
Time for your shot.
Was that the cuckoo already?
That was the cuckoo.
Bronwyn had come to think of love the way that she felt about daylight, something distant, extinct, something she could never know. But now, she wasn't so sure.
How strange, this boy sees that as love. Is that love? Can that be love? To him, love is cold and harsh as winter. But to me, yes, I'm sure it must be warmer, like a sun. But the sun never rose, and a rose is a fantasy. Could anything get this frozen man to see beyond the norm? All I've been is scared, so I've never dared. But maybe I could see if he might actually feel warm.
Was a time, I remember. If you showed me a crack in the sidewalk, I'd show you a weed fighting to break through. But there's no weeds, not here, not now, not fighting to break through nor otherwise. Nothing grows no more, and most of us are tired of fighting. My rifle's dirty.
Sweet William sets the can of fruit cocktail outside Madame Floy's door. He gets his broom and sweeps the stairwell of the Halcyon.
Whoa, Bronwyn!
In her slippers and shawl, Bronwyn stands before him, about to step out of her apartment.
I'm not going outside!
Well, you're in the stairs!
Stairwell! You better not say anything to Auntie Floy or your father!
Like what?
Like, don't say I'm going outside, because I'm definitely not doing that!
Father would be super, super mad if you went outside, I mean. Get it? Get it why I said it like that? Super, super mad.
Cause he's a super?
Uh-huh. You want some glue?
I'm full, thanks.
I'm glad you popped out. You never ever pop out. I know, cause I'm always tootling out here. In fact, sometimes when I'm outside your door, I think, ooh, it sure would be nice if brilliant, beautiful Bronwyn popped out so we could have us a chat.
I like chatting with you, sweet William.
You called me Sweet William.
That's your name.
Sweet William's a flower. I'm a flower. My mother did that. She liked flowers a lot. When she was alive, I mean. Hey, you know about the greenhouse on the roof?
Heard about it.
But you never saw it. Wanna see it?
We can't go on the roof. No one can. It's locked. Your father keeps the...
The key?
Where'd you get that?
Shh. Stole it. Took it right off old father's neck while he was snoring. Father has lots and lots of rules. Don't bother him when he's polishing rifles, that's one. Two, don't go in the greenhouse on the roof. It was my mother's greenhouse. She loved it up there. Ooh, I sure would like to show you that greenhouse, brilliant, beautiful Bronwyn.
What's going on up there?
Your father, quick, hide the key. Hello.
Ooh, that's a sparkling rifle, Father.
Two naughty minds shaping shenanigans in the stairwell, I see.
William, I said not to hover up here.
Not hovering, I'm sweeping, Father. See? See?
I'm afraid it's my fault.
You. Sneaking out while the old lady's conked?
Not sneaking out.
She's not sneaking out, Father. There's nowhere to go. It's too dangerous outside, and you won't let us go to the greenhouse.
We were just... doing some eating, right? Sweet William, where's the... where's the...
glue? Here. Oh, it's okay. Just dip your finger in and slurp it off. That's what I do.
Yum.
I came up from the basement because I thought I heard an intruder.
No intruder.
No intruder. This building hasn't had intruders for a long time.
Not since Mother died.
That's enough about that.
Don't be mad, Father.
That sure is a sparkling rifle.
I like my rifles clean. They get dirty so fast. Bronwyn, you'd best get back to your flat where it's safe for a spindly young gal. And don't let me catch you doing nothing foolish. It's a mean world full of bad people, and you don't got no rifle.
Your father's scary.
Oh, he don't mean nothing by it. So, hey, you want to go up there? On the roof, I mean? To the greenhouse?
I have to do something. I can't say what.
What?
I can't say.
Take me with you, brilliant, beautiful Bronwyn. I'll protect you.
How? You don't got no rifle.
No. I got sweeping to do anyways.
Bronwyn creeps down the stairs to the ground floor. In the vestibule, she tentatively opens the exterior door and almost steps outside.
When I walked up to this stoop for the first time and the last, when I was nearly four, I looked back from this door, and I think I saw, I think twilight. I dream one day I'll see again, maybe just one fleck, and hope someday will come again through the clouds and through the dreck. Somehow in the air, magic will be near, and then through the darkness will appear a tiny, tiny speck of twilight. The light would spread across the sky and gently melt the earth. And then instead we won't ask why, we'll just enjoy a world.
Thaw, dancing with the tide, and the
they'd come outside to see that speck of twilight. If I could bring back that speck of twilight, maybe that would bring back love. Or if I found one speck of love, then twilight might peek its head from above. All they need is one small rose. Well, that is not that much. And from one seed, well, gosh, who knows? A brilliant spring, a laugh, a touch.
On the fire escape of the burnt-out tenement across the street, a badass babe sucks on a lollipop.
I know! I'm this total badass babe. That don't mean you gotta run from me. I can be kind as a kitten. When I want. What's wrong? Why don't you step outside?
You have a definite look.
I've been cultivating it since birth, baby.
Are you an outlaw, or a hooligan, or a wild drug fiend?
Yeah. You're a gawker.
What?
Gawk, gawk, gawk! I saw you up in that window, gawking.
That's not true.
It's cool, baby. I like putting on a show. But show's over, folks. Why do you keep looking around? Are you expecting someone?
Expecting someone? Me? Where's that guy?
My ex, that punk skinhead? He's not even a true skinhead. He likes his hair too much to shave it off, so he uses a number 3 clip guard. Loser. I booted him.
He's gone?
I hope his blood freezes. And if you spy him with your little gawker eyes, tell him not to come round here no more. Cause I'm not never, ever taking that sucker back.
Lolly! Lolly!
Shoot.
Bronwyn watches as Puppy, in his Trapper Trooper hat, lumbers through the snow, gulping gulps from a bottle of whiskey.
Lolly, lolly, 100,000 times I'm sorry. Rip off my t-shirt, a naked hypothermic death. Take my breath. Watch me rip off my pants. Who needs legs? My soul begs to walk this earth for you.
Puppy pours whiskey over his body, then smashes the bottle on a dumpster.
Watch as I cut my arm up. Ah! Who needs arms when my heart's got wings? Oh, this stings.
undoing the other vein now. Ah! Who needs blood when my heart don't beat? It's just me. Watch me butcher my chest, split it wide. Come and look inside and see my straining heart. Let the draining start. I'm bleeding love. Bleeding love. I'm bleeding
love. Lolly finishes her lolly and flings the stick in the air. She slips through the tenement window, bolting it shut behind her, and Puppy collapses in the snow.
Leave me for dead. Let the snow turn red. Let it tattoo the earth. So when you walk by, someday you might cry. For my days full of pain, let my blood fall like rain. Let my blood fall like rain.
Bronwyn peeks out from the Halcyon vestibule. Puppy, bleeding in the snow, looks up at the fire escape. Lolly is long gone. He shivers.
You'll freeze if you stay out there.
Pumpy, whimpering, crawls towards Bronwyn and into the Halcyon.
You'll be warmer here.
Here? We don't go inside?
Shh, this is inside.
This is stairs, man.
It's the stairwell. I live with my auntie. She's bedridden. She doesn't allow me to have boys over. And there's a super in the building with a thing for rifles.
Hey, you got anything like booze? I'm a booze hound. I need booze.
You mean liquid spirits? We're fresh out. I'm Bronwyn. Ew.
I'm a mess.
You're tall. We have to get you cleaned up. I guess you can come into the flat, but keep it down and try not to bleed on anything.
Bronwyn takes Puppy to the third floor landing, where Sweet William is sleeping with his broom.
Shh.
She leads Puppy to her apartment door. Sweet William, who is only pretending to sleep, opens his eyes. He eats glue as he watches Bronwyn and Puppy slip into Madame Floy's flat.
May I take your hat?
My trooper trapper trapper trooper hat?
I'm preparing you a bath. You can't wear a hat in the bathtub.
You're nice. What makes you nice when I'm so disgusting?
Just am, I guess.
Puppy removes his precious trapper trooper hat and hands it to Bronwyn.
You want to touch my head?
Why?
Girls like to do that.
Your bath's ready.
As Puppy strips out of his clothes and slides into the tub, Bronwyn hides the Trapper Trooper hat beneath a cushion in the settee.
You should have touched it when you had the chance.
What?
You're staring at my head, man.
Why'd you shave it?
Okay. So I'm combing my hair one day. I had great hair. Lolly sees me and goes, "Spending all that time in front of the mirror? You love your hair more than me." Well, one of them had to go.
Ah. Oh, excuse me for saying, but that Lolly, she seems like a real stinker.
Who's big and bad? I am. I'm a big, bad baby. I was retirement, and I ruined everything. I love her.
I don't think love's supposed to hurt so much.
What do you know about it? Have you ever even ever been kissed?
I've basically never been outside this building, but I've seen a lot.
Love's a razor. Slice and open my veins.
Oh, don't cry.
My heart's like completely mangled, and I got no hair. I gotta cry.
I can make it better.
Bull.
Okay, maybe not me, but my music can. Let me get my cello.
I'm gonna be sick again.
They say music's good for the heart. I'll clean that up later. Ta-da!
Music's useless.
Useless?
My only hope is to find a single red...
Roses don't grow. Nothing does. It's cold and there's no sunlight.
Haven't you, like, heard of a metaphor for the impossible? Man, that's the whole entire... Whoa. Whoa, whoa! What is that?
Oh, that's not real.
Puppy emerges from the tub and dons a silly old lady's bathrobe from nearby.
Did she say real? She said red rose. That's that!
This isn't... This is just wire and paint. It scratches off, see? It only looks like a flower.
I thought you were nice.
I am.
Someone nice would give me that flower, so once again, I may know the miracle that's true love. Yeah!
But...
Cruel! Cruel! You're just like the rest of the world.
Don't say that. It's just...
Supervillain!
If I give it to you, you'll give it to her and she'll take you back.
That's kind of what I'm going for, man.
But what about...
What?
Maybe she'll like it. Like she likes, well... drugs. A good imitation. See, it's got no bugs. And since we live when nothing grows, take this plastic rose. Can you tell the difference between false and real? You tell by the scent and in the way they feel. Unlock your senses, then it shows. Take this plastic rose. If the task is daunting and it makes you bleed, maybe what you're wanting isn't what you need. It's yours. It's such an easy gift. Go give it to her, and how she feels might shift.
Bronwyn gives Puppy the fake flower.
Sorry I called you cruel. Now I see you have a good, pure heart.
A pure heart?
Where's my trooper trapper trapper trooper hat?
To. They must be here someplace.
Puppy, looking for his hat, spots a vial of Madame Floy's medication. Seeing that Bronwyn isn't looking, he steals it.
Got a jet, man.
Puppy is gone. Bronwyn goes to the window and sees him trudging away from the Halcyon.
Lolly!
Lolly appears on the fire escape of the tenement across the street. Puppy presents Lolly with the rose.
Plastic? Plastic? Tyrant! Oppressor!
Lolly kicks the plastic rose into the snowy street and goes back inside. Puppy, rejected, huddles next to a dumpster. Looking on from the Halcyon, Bronwyn opens her window.
Puppy! See me tomorrow. I'll get you a real rose. Cross my good, pure heart.
Puppy, distraught, lifts his gaze. Does he smile?
When all that's left is fake and has no worth, might a seed still wake underneath the earth? Maybe, maybe, who knows?
Bronwyn fetches Puppy's Trapper Trooper hat from beneath the cushion and cuddles with it. She shuts her eyes and falls asleep.
Thank you for listening to Bleeding Love. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and tell your friends. Bleeding Love, a post-apocalyptic new musical. Book and story by Jason Schaefer. Music by Arthur LaFrance Bacon. Lyrics by Harris Duran. Directed and edited by Harris Duran. Produced by the Broadway Podcast Network, Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, in association with Kent Nicholson, Katie Rosen, and Steve Saporito. Starring Annie Golden as Madame Floy, Rebecca Naomi Jones as Lolly, Mark Kudish as The Super, Sarah Stiles as Bronwyn, Taylor Trench as Sweet William, Tony Vincent as Puppy. Orchestrated by Bruce Coughlin. Additional production and orchestration by Arthur LaFrance Bacon. Re-recording mixing by Rick Schnupp. Sound edited by Jose Villeman. Sound engineering by Alan Seals. Song recordings produced by Tim Andreasen with Soren Moeller, creative producer of the Fredericia Theater. Martin Conga, musical director and keyboards. Stefan Schackinger on guitar. Florian Navarro on reeds. Jakob Rosenthal Provisen on violin. Tobias Lautrup on cello. Alan Nagel on bass. And Lars Mullenberg on drums. Additional vocals on the prologue by Aaron Ramey and Lucia Spina. Vocals recorded at Avatar Studios NYC and the actors' apartments during self-isolation.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.